Welcome to the Covenant Community Church podcast. We hope that this teaching will bless you. Share with us how God is moving in your life and how this message impacts you by emailing us at media@covenantcc.net. Are you ready? It's time for the Word.
The Lord has a way of making a way for each of us and all of us. And it's a joy and an honor to be with you and be with my dear friend, Pastor Michael Knight. If we could throw that first slide up there, it'd be great today. You know, this past October, going past that, we had the Wittenberg 2017 Congress in Berlin and in Wittenberg. And Wittenberg's a little small town. It's about a mile long. And it was never bombed in World War II. But this is one of the images of the Wittenberg 2017 Congress. Go to the next slide, if you would. This image is a very important image in the body of Christ. This is Castle Church that was built 1513. It is where Martin Luther is buried. He's at all the way to the top right, off to the right, is his pulpit. And at the base of his pulpit is the burial site of Martin Luther, the reformer, that nailed the 95 Theses on Castle Church door in Wittenberg, Germany. This is the church where he nailed the theses on the door, and I was privileged to go over several times and work with the Lutheran Christians there, and they granted us the privilege of having our final session on November 1, 2017 in Wittenberg, Germany. Now, when Martin Luther nailed the 95 Theses on the door, it was in the evening time of October 31, and getting ready for All Saints Day, which will be November 1. So when the believers came to that church on November 1, 500 years ago, they would have seen the 95 Theses on the door for the very first time. I wanted us to be in that church on the day of the first day of the Protestant Reformation. And you say, what's the big deal about that? Well, without the Protestant Reformation, we wouldn't be having church here today. It's kind of significant, actually. And Michael Knight was and is involved in all of these particulars. Now, I want you to listen to me for a moment. You know, I'm so grateful that the Lord put Michael and me together. I remember the first time I came to Nashville was on a Thanksgiving, Wednesday before Thanksgiving. I was coming out of Springfield, Missouri. I flew into Nashville. We spent a few hours together, and then I got on a plane, and I went on to Florida. And Michael and I began a relationship there about 7 or 8 years ago. And we've traveled many places in the world together. Without Michael's leadership and assistance, listen to what I'm about to say. This event right here in Wittenberg, Germany, would not have taken place. Okay? I want you to understand that. And I'm not going to unleash all of the details that Dr. Knight did, both small and big, both pleasant and ugly. Okay? Things he had to take care of to help us make this a reality. Now, in this picture are leaders from every major region around the world, over 80 different denominations, and it was there that we declared at the grave of Martin Luther what is called the Finish Declaration, that with the Lord's help, by the end of 2030, we want the remaining of the unreached people groups to have a Bible in their language, to have believers in their neighborhood, and have bodies of Christ making disciples in the remaining unreached people groups all around the world by the end of 2030. And the response we've had has been a tremendous response. And I want you to know you can never find a better pastor than the one that God has given you right here at Covenant Community Church. Did you know that? It's true. And we need to pray for him and his wife and family and all the leaders of this great church. And when the Lord's at work, the enemy's at work too. Martin Luther would say, where God plants a church, Satan builds a chapel. And never forget that while the Lord is at work, the enemy's at work also. Go to the next slide, if you would. We're involved in the global hubs of Christianity, and I've highlighted this for you before. This is over in Ecuador. Go to the next slide, if you would. We're working really hard right now in all the nations of the Caribbean. There are 30 nations in the Caribbean, and we have a global summit taking place in November for all 30 countries, and we want to launch hubs throughout that region in the Caribbean beginning in November. We already have several hubs there. This is one of them. But we want to get all of them done as expeditiously as possible. And so we have a global summit that's taking place in November. Go to the next slide, if you would. This is what Pastor Michael was referring to a little bit ago. Now, the gentleman to my right is Bishwa Takata. And the gentleman to his left, to the other far left side, his name is Tech, T-E-K. And they are related. Okay, they're related. Bishwa and Tech are related. Tech is the president of the largest, most comprehensive umbrella of all of the major streams of Christianity in Nepal. Now, the gentleman to my left is David Sobrepeña, who pastors a phenomenal church in Manila. Now, you know, we were really excited when they decided to put those hats on us there. We were all excited about that. We just couldn't wait to get that hat put on our head. But it was in honor that we have been teaching. Now, go to the next slide, if you would. And when we were together a year ago, when I was fortunate to be with you, we received an offering. And in that offering, it was for the launching of the Nepal Hub. How many of us remember that? Okay, right after that, I got on a plane, and I went to Nepal. And I flew on a weekend. We launched the hub Tuesday and Wednesday, part of Thursday, and I flew all the way back to the United States. Now, this hub is now becoming 8 hubs in 1 year. This hub is now becoming 8 hubs. If we're ever going to finish the Great Commission in any generation, we're going to have to multiply. Elephants and rabbits multiply, just not at the same rate. It takes 18 years for an elephant to become 2. And in 18 years, you have 53,747 rabbits. We have got to multiply like rabbits. We've got to multiply. The body of Christ has got to multiply. This world is multiplying. And if we're ever going to finish the Great Commission, we got to get ahead of population growth so we can finish the Great Commission. And so this hub has become 8 hubs. Go to the next slide, if you would. And we're working now very strategically. And Dr. Knight is very much involved in this with other key leaders in the Himalaya Mountains. Now, the Himalaya Mountains is a stretch of territory that is over 1,500 miles long. It starts off on the right side of India underneath China, cuts all the way across the top of India, all the way across to Pakistan. The highest mountains in the world are in the Himalaya Mountains. And for whatever reason, over the years, I have been drawn to this particular piece of property in the world. I'll go to the next slide. But there are 20,000 villages in the Himalaya chain that do not have a single church in them. They are primarily Buddhist, Hindu, or atheist. Over 20,000 churches or villages in the Himalayas have never heard the name of Christ one time. There are 57 million people across the Himalaya Mountains. And so when we were in Orlando in January, Dr. Knight was there and others, we have every other year we have the Synergized Pastors and Leaders Conference. And Bishwa Takata got on a plane, flew all the way in because I wanted to interview him in front of all the other leaders that were there. And because of the vast need of the 20,000-plus villages across the Himalaya Mountains. And you may remember the story in the book of Joshua when they went into Canaan. Caleb was having his 85th birthday. And so he came to Joshua, and he said, I've got something I want for my birthday. And Joshua said, what is that? And he said, give me this mountain. And he named it. He said, this is the mountain I want. This is the mountain I saw 40 years ago. This is the mountain that's been in my heart. This is the mountain I want. And on his 85th birthday, he climbed and he conquered that mountain for the Lord. And so in January, we announced for the first time what's called Give Me This Mountain Summit. And so this coming September, in the beautiful nation of Nepal, right outside Kathmandu, we will be hosting, Dr. Knight and I and other leaders will be hosting give me this mountain summit in the middle of September for over 1,000 church planters from throughout Tibet, Nepal, and India for the 20,000 plus villages that are there. Now, I got a letter from Bishwa just a few days ago. Go on to the next slide, if you would. Go on, jump to the next one. Get to that. There we go. Got an image there because this is important. I got a letter from Bishwa, and this is what he says. Greetings. I am very glad to hear from you. Thank you for your prayer and loves toward Nepal. We have continued to be praying for the Global Church Network and the Heart of the Lost People around the world, as well as the upcoming historic Give Me This Mountain Summit 2018. And we believe the summit will make Nepal reach the 20,000 plus churches with more than 1,000 church planters in the next 10 years in the Himalaya region. We have met as key leaders, and we've all decided that this is what we're going to do in the nation of Nepal. It is a privilege to partner with you. Now, it all started because a year ago, we received an offering to help me to go to Nepal. We launched a hub there, and these leaders just met less than 2 weeks ago, and these men in this room represent all the major streams of Christianity there. In 1960, there were only 500 Christians there. Today, there's 1.3 million Christians in the nation of Nepal. And these men and these women want to tackle the 20,000 plus villages in the Himalaya mountain range. And in 10 years, put a church in every one of them. And somebody said, hallelujah. Sometimes you say amen. Sometimes you say hallelujah. And this is led by Bishwa Dakota. Now, you know, and Michael Knight at the end is going to say something, and I want to kind of tag into it. You know, relationships is how the kingdom of God moves forward. It's through relationships. And you can't put a price tag on that. And every once in a while, somebody will come to me, and they will say something like this. They will say, James, I sure would like to be able to build a network like the Global Church Network. Tell me what I need to do. And this is what I say. And I don't say it braggadociously, and I'm not braggadociously saying it today because it's a price tag. I said, well, I have spent almost 4 years of my life sitting inside of a plane, not including the time going and back and forth between the airport or sitting in the concourse or a delayed flight. I'm talking about airtime. If you add it all up, it's probably close to 6 years of my life. I'm 57 years old. 6 years of my life has dealt with air travel. I've said that I've spent over 13 years of my life inside of a hotel room someplace in the world. And we've spent close to $2 million in travel expenses in that span of time. I said, now, if you can raise the money and you're willing to put 13 years in a hotel and 16 years in air travel, you can build a network like the Global Church Network. Now, what I'm saying to you today is this. Somebody has to go. Somebody has to sit down with Bishwa. I've met with all these leaders before. After I was with you last year and I went there, I met with all these leaders. Somebody has to go. Somebody has to break bread. Somebody has to drink the hot tea. Somebody has to spend time in prayer. Somebody has to walk it out. And then others come along and help build on it. And somebody said amen. Go to the next slide, if you would. It's a picture of my family. And every time I go, it's a day away from my lovely wife, Sherry, and my two incredible daughters, who are 12 and 17. And over the years, I've done some math. About every $20 that's been given into the network has helped me to tie a relational knot someplace in the world. And the reason why I highlight that is because no knot, no net. My goal is to tie as many relationship knots as possible because I know if we can build and tie enough knots, we can build a big enough net to finish the Great Commission. I remember when we launched the network and I said this to one engineer. He said, how are you going to do it? I said, we're going to tie relational knots. He literally yawned. And he said, that will never work. And I said, just watch and see how well it works. Because it's all about relationship and relationship capital. And I just want you to know, it's been a privilege of mine to partner with Covenant Community Church. Because with God's help, we're going to finish the Great Commission all the world is going to hear the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's going to be harder for somebody to live on the planet and die and not know who Jesus is. Amen? Would you please stand with me in honor of God's word today? I want to read out of a couple passages of scripture. And it's over in Genesis, the book of Genesis. Go to Genesis 21, if you would. Genesis 21, verse number 9, and they're going to put it up, the words up on the screen also. And it's in NIV, and I'm reading NASB, but it'll be pretty close. Now Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham mocking. Therefore, she said to Abraham, drive out the maid and her son, for the son of this maid shall not be heir with my son Isaac. And the matter distressed Abraham greatly because of his son. But God said to Abraham, do not be distressed because of the lad and your maid. Whatever Sarah tells you, listen to her, for through Isaac your descendants shall be named. And of the son of the maid I will make a nation also because he is your descendant. And Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water and gave them to Hagar, putting them on her shoulder, and gave her the boy and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. Now go with me to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. We're going to start with verse number 21. And it says this, tell me who you want to be on the law. Do you not listen to the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman and the other by a free woman. But the son of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and the son of the free woman was through promise. This is allegorically speaking. Now jump on down to verse number 28. And he says this, and you, brethren, like Isaac, are children of the promise, but as at that time one who was born according to the flesh persecuted him that was born according to the spirit, so it is now. But what does the scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman should not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free woman. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for allowing us to live long enough to see this, what you're doing all over the world. And Lord, I pray that you will deposit godly wisdom in all of our hearts. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you praise and glory for it in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen and amen. You may be seated. As we get into God's Word today, I want to highlight something for you. It's called the Great Commission Study Bible. And this ministry released it in Wittenberg, Germany for the very first time. And this is the very first time the body of Christ has produced a Great Commission Study Bible. The entire Bible is devoted to help us to understand our role in God's goal. More than 100 leaders from around the world contributed to the Great Commission Study Bible from all over the world, from every major stream of Christianity. There's more than 500 devotionals in it, and in the back is a phenomenal study guide. I recommend it to you. It will help you to have a better handle on what we call the Great Commission, but more than that, it'll help us to find our part in it, what is our role in it. It is a phenomenal Bible study, and you'll find it there in the foyer after the service this morning. Abraham had two sons. Not one, two. I believe the greatest thing or the hardest thing that Abraham ever had to do was to send his Ishmael away. The Bible says this, and don't miss it, in Genesis 22, verse 1. After these things, God did test Abraham. After what things? After the things that transpired in Genesis 21. The enemy of our soul will tempt us to try to bring the bad out, but God will test us to bring the good out. Now, none of us in this room, myself included, none of us enjoy the test. But out of the test comes the testimony. Once we have a testimony, it's because of what God did in the midst of the test. Now, when you get into Genesis 22, there's a very familiar and famous story. Every one of us know it's a story about Abraham and Isaac. It's about Abraham giving Isaac to the Lord. But I submit to you that Abraham would have never given Isaac until he first of all sent away his Ishmael. And there are a lot of believers who in their heart want to do what we sang about today. I want to do my best for you. I want to give my best to you. But there's something that keeps them back. In believers' hearts, God cultivates a desire, a dream, a God-given goal. But there is this thing that gnaws and nags that keeps that believer back from fulfilling his or her divine destiny. I submit to you, it's wrapped up in what I call the Ishmaels of life. And I pray that God will deposit this message down deep in our hearts and in our spirits. And there are two aspects of this that I want to bring home to our hearts today. First of all, is what I call the prevention of surrender. The prevention. What is it that keeps a believer one step back? What is it that keeps a believer back from inheriting all of God's promises? What is it that keeps a man or woman back from stepping into that divine destiny that he or she has been ordered by the Lord to have? Now, the Bible says that Abraham had two sons. Now, there came a famine in the time of Abraham, and it was a terrible famine. And it became dark and bleak. And so Abraham packed up his bags, well, his lovely wife Sarah, and he moved down to Egypt. Now, there is no indication that the Lord told him to go to Egypt. There is no indication that he even prayed about it. Now, oftentimes, before Abraham would make a move, he would build an altar, sacrifice to God, and then move. There is no indication that he prayed about it. There is certainly no indication that he built any altar at all. He packed up his bags, and he went to Egypt. Now, why did he go to Egypt? Because there was food down there where he lived. There wasn't food. There was famine. So he moves down there in a very most difficult time in his life and in his husband and wife's life. And as a result of it, he goes down there and he meets a woman named Hagar. And after he meets Hagar, he gets involved in Hagar with Hagar, and Ishmael is born. Now, Ishmael is born in a dark time in Abraham's life. Ishmael is born in a most challenging time in Abraham's life. Now, God's desire, now don't miss this, God's plan, he said, Sarah will have a child. He said, she's going to be a mother, and you're going to be a father. And when you have this boy, you are to name him Isaac, because Isaac means promised child. But when did God do that? Did God do that in a year? Did he do it in 2 years? Did he do it in 3 years? No. More than 14 years would take place before God would do it. But listen to me. Just because there is a delay doesn't mean there's been a denial. Just because God knows more than we know doesn't mean that we have the privilege of going out and disobeying his command and promise for our life. We like to talk about victory. We like to talk about the promises of God. But I'm here to tell you, if you and I are going to inherit all those, we have to be willing to send our Ishmaels away. It was in this time that Ishmael was born. And then God would whisper to Abraham, and he would do it also through Sarah. And Abraham was going to have to send his Ishmael away. Now, Paul writes to the church in Galatia, the New Testament. And Paul begins to unpack it in Galatians 4, and we read it today. He starts off by saying that Abraham had two sons. Now, if you've ever been to the Holy Land, and if you wanted to go to the graveside of where Abraham is buried, he's buried in the cave of Machpelah. That's where he was buried. If you don't believe that's true, just go back and read the book of Genesis, and that's where he's buried. And you can go to the cave of Machpelah today. But the only problem is you got to know which day you can go. Because one day is for the Christians and the Jews. The other day is for the Muslims. Next day is the Christians and Jews. Next day is for the Muslims. Why? Because Abraham had two sons, an Ishmael and an Isaac. And the Ishmaelites have just as much right to the graveside of Abraham as the Israelites do. Okay? And so, Paul says that he had two sons. Now, don't miss it. He says, now, the first boy, Ishmael, was born according to the flesh. Then he says, the second boy, Isaac, was born according to promise. But then he goes a step further. Then he says, the first one who was born according to the flesh was mocking the one who was born according to the Spirit. So he first of all starts out by saying one born by the flesh, one by promise. Then he goes the next step and he says one was born by the flesh, the other's born by the Spirit. And he says, and the flesh mocks the Spirit. Sarah said to Abraham, I saw Ishmael mocking Isaac. What is it that keeps a child of God back from inheriting all the promises, from walking in the victory that God has planned for them? It is the flesh mocking their spiritual life. And until the flesh stops mocking the man or woman's life, they can talk about victory all day long. They can sing about it all day long. But as long as Ishmael is mocking, victory will be limited. Will be limited. And Abraham would never go to Mount Moriah until his Ishmael was gone. I believe the hardest thing that Abraham ever did was not climbing Mount Moriah wondering how God's going to take care of Isaac, because Abraham said, if God slays him, he'll raise him back up. That's what Abraham said in his heart. But the hardest thing he ever had to do was send his Ishmael away. With that in mind, I'd like to ask you a question. What Ishmael do you have? What is it that's mocking you? What is it that trips you up? What is it that keeps you back from possessing all your possessions? What's interesting to me is that when you go back, and I challenge you this afternoon, go back and read Galatians chapter 5. Because in Galatians chapter 5, Paul gives to us the works of the flesh. And then he gives to us the fruit of the Holy Spirit. He gives us, first of all, the flesh. Then he gives to us the fruit. Now remember now, he's already told us that Ishmael and Isaac, one's born according to the flesh, one's born according to the Spirit. He builds on it, and then he gives a list of the works of the flesh. And at the end of his list, he says this, and such the like. In other words, he's saying, this is not an exhaustive list. This is giving you an example or examples of what it means to live a life in the flesh. And then after he lists that and says, and such like, then he says something that's very pungent, and we don't like to hear it, but this is what Paul said. And he said, and those that do such things, what does he say? Shall not inherit the kingdom of God. He said, those who live that lifestyle, those who live that kind of life, he said, they're in danger of missing it all. He says, and such the like. Some people have the Ishmael of pride. You can't tell them anything because they know everything. The doorway of teachability is oiled with humility. There's just some people you can't teach anything. Now, I realize nobody's here like that. I know that. I mean, I know that. But there are people like that. You try to tell them, and before you can get it out, they interrupt you. And before you can get one sentence done, they're already asking you a question, and you're trying to teach them something, and they just won't be quiet long enough so you can teach them something. Pride, superiority, a condescending attitude. There's some people who have temper tantrums over the smallest little things. There's some families who argue in the church and argue in the car and come to church and love Jesus.
And then get back in the car and say, "Now listen, did you listen to that sermon today?" There's some people who have the Ishmael of an angry spirit down deep inside. They're constantly angry, filled with anger and resentment. And they don't deal with it. And it just gnaws at them day in and day out, decade in and decade out. The people have the Ishmael of lust in their life. There's people have an Ishmael of greed. I have a friend of mine. I believe he's going to make heaven. I really do. He's going to make heaven. And he's worth $50 million. $50 million. And if you were to ask him, how much is enough? He'd say, not enough yet. He's 51 years old. His goal in life is to just get wealth. That's his goal. Now, does God want to prosper our path? He does. Somebody said amen. He does. He wants to prosper our path. It takes money to put the lights on. I like what Reinhard Bonnke always says. We believe that we ought to give God all the credit, but he sure likes cash also. I mean, you understand what I'm saying to you? God wants to prosper our path. But the goal in life is not just to get wealthy. When we pass away, you're not going to have a hearse attached to, have a U-Haul attached to the hearse going to the cemetery. A week ago Friday, I was in the memorial service of Billy Graham. Did anybody watch that on television or on the internet? I was there. Now, I want to tell you, Billy Graham showed us how to live a great life. And if you haven't seen the funeral, you need to go watch it on YouTube. You need to go see it. Sit down. I sat down with my girls. I said, you want to know what a great life is? Sit down, be quiet, and just listen right now. His humility impacted the world. His simplicity impacted the world. You know, there are people who live such a complicated life. People strive their whole life to acquire more and more and more and more. What Ishmael do you have? There are some people who just love to gossip. And you know, they get somebody over in the corner and they say, you know, so-and-so did such and such. Really? When somebody does that, just point at your ears and they say, why are you pointing? You think these are trash cans? What do you think they are? You know, the Bible says God hates when people divide the body of Christ. One verse says, mark them that do it. Don't make them your closest buddy in life. Stop doing what is wrong. There is never a good time to do what is wrong. There is never a bad time to start doing what is right. Abraham had to send his Ishmael away. And if Abraham had to do it, I submit to you that all of us have to be willing to do it. It is the Ishmael that mocks, that keeps us from Isaac. It's the flesh that mocks us, that keeps us from surrendering all. It is the flesh that keeps us back from trusting and believing that God is our provision and our resource. When we're walking the flesh, it's all about me. When we're walking the spirit, it's all about him. Paul would write this and he would say, redeem the time in an evil age. How do we have better time management? By walking in the spirit. He says, if you walk in the spirit, you won't have time to walk in the flesh, and you'll redeem the time for the glory of the Lord. Oh, my friend, if Abraham had to send it away, all of us have to send it away. Step number two, not just the prevention, but the price. You know, Abraham shows us how to do it. It's one thing for us to be admonished to do it. It's another thing for us to be shown how to do it. And so Abraham shows us the path forward. He shows us how to get from one side to the other side. And I hope these steps find lodging in our hearts today. And I'm being very didactic on purpose because God has a great big plan for a Covenant Community Church. God's plan is bigger than you and I have ever imagined. He thinks larger than we do. He dreams larger than we do. But the only way we're going to ever inherit it all is to get to the place where He can trust us with it. With it. So step number one is we have to cast out the flesh. Now, Sarah comes to Abraham and she says, Abraham, I saw Ishmael mocking Isaac. You've got to get rid of Ishmael. You've got to get rid of Hagar. You got to get rid of both of them. Why didn't she say, tell you what, get rid of Ishmael, but you can keep Hagar. Or get rid of Hagar and you can keep Ishmael. Why did she say both of them? Because Hagar represents the root of sin. Ishmael represents the fruit of sin. See, if you keep loving what is wrong, you're going to have another Ishmael. Somebody said, well, I'll send away my Ishmael. That's good, but if you keep loving Hagar, it's just going to be a matter of time. You're going to have another Ishmael. You see, there are a lot of people who want to deal with the surface, but they don't want to get down to the root of the problem. You see, they want to deal with the external, but they don't want to deal with the internal. The heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. Until a man's heart is right, until a woman's heart is right, they're not going to bear the fruit. You see, sin has root, shoot, and fruit. That's what it is. Doesn't matter where you live, doesn't matter who you are. James says in his epistle, you got to get to the root of the problem. And so Sarah is saying, Abraham, you're loving what's wrong. You got to get rid of what you're loving that's wrong. You got to get rid of Hagar. Hey, you got to get rid of Ishmael. You got to be willing to cast it all out. And that's true for every one of us in this room. See, if there's something in your heart that you love that God hates, you need heart surgery. If there's something in your heart that you love and the Bible says it's wrong, my friend, you're not going to have victory until you deal with your heart. Casting out the flesh. Step number two, the concern of the Father. Now, when Sarah said this to Abraham, Abraham didn't shout hallelujah. He didn't say, this is incredible. I'm so excited about it. I think we'll do it right now. No, he wasn't happy about it at all. In fact, he says it distressed him. It really grieved him, as one translation says. Now, why was it so hard for Abraham? When Isaac was born, Ishmael was already 14 years old. You say, James, how do you know that? Because the Bible says so. The Bible says that when Isaac was born, Ishmael was 14 years old. Just go and read it for yourself. So Ishmael has been hanging around for 14 years. Now it's been another 2 or 3 years since Isaac's birth. So Ishmael is somewhere between 16 and 17 years old. Here's the point. The longer you live with Ishmael in your heart, the harder it is to send your Ishmael away. The best time to do it is today. The best time to do it is now. The person who procrastinates is just making it harder and harder for that person to do what is right. The concern of the Father. He was not very excited about doing this. And that's why I often say the hardest thing that Abraham ever did was send his Ishmael away. Step number three, the confirmation of faith. Now God gets in the middle of it and he confirms what Sarah says. He says, listen to Sarah. And then he says, send Ishmael and Hagar away. Now it's one thing for a family member. It's one thing for a friend to say, hey, it's something, you know, I just come alongside you. There's something you need to work on in your life. But then there's another thing when God says, by the way, what they've been telling you, they're right. I'm confirming it. You need to send it away. And Abraham, you need to get started on this new project. right away. The Holy Spirit confirms in our hearts that which is right and that which is wrong. That which pleases the Lord and that what does not please the Lord. It's called the confirmation of faith. God doesn't expect us to do it all by ourselves. Step number four, the climax of the fight. And now get this. The Bible says in verse 14 that Abraham's going to send away, Ishmael is going to send away Hagar. I see him as he gets up early in the morning and he calls his son Ishmael over. And he says, Ishmael, I want to talk to you. Last night, Yahweh spoke to me in my tent. And this concerns you and your mother. And he finally utters the words that he doesn't want to say. And tears well up in Abraham's eyes and begin to roll down his wrinkly cheeks. And he says, Ishmael, God has told me that you and your mother must leave my home, must leave my heart. I will never see you again. I will never talk to your mother again. I will never have you at our dining room table ever again. This is the last time I will converse with you. And then he gives them some bread and some water, the Bible says, in verse 15. He gives some bread and water. He gives it to Hagar and some to the son. And then he points and he says, this is the way to go into the wilderness of Beersheba. And I watch Abraham as he looks as Ishmael, his firstborn son, and Hagar, as they're walking further and further and further away, and finally, he can see them no more. And the Bible says, and you can read it for yourself, they get out into the barren wilderness, and they run out of bread, and they run out of water. And the Bible says that they begin to cry out to God. Now, why did they run out of bread and run out of water? Because Abraham did not give them an adequate supply. Abraham could have given them camels and a team of men to lead them through the barren wilderness. He could have given them all kinds of food. This was a very wealthy man. But there comes a time that you quit trying to do it by yourself. There comes a time that you stop feeding the flesh, and you start feeding the spirit. There comes a time that you say to God, I am now going to walk by faith. I'm not just going to talk about it. I'm not just going to sing about it. I am going to believe that God, you are the source of my life. And the Bible says that Ishmael begins to cry out to God. And the Bible says that God hears the cries of Hagar and Ishmael and opens up their eyes. They find a well of water, and then they get the food that is needed. They make their way all the way across the wilderness of Beersheba. They never come back to Abraham's house ever again. In fact, he never sees Ishmael ever again. Ishmael comes to Abraham's funeral, but they never have communion ever again. And I'm here to tell you, when you mean business with God, God means business with you. And when you send your Ishmael away, get ready. He's going to cry out again. But on this time, you're going to wait on God, and God's going to provide for you, and God's going to give you the victory over that gnawing, nagging habit. He's going to give you a victory over that temper that needs to be gone from your life. He's going to give you a victory over those areas, because he is your provision and he is your source. And if you believe it, say amen today. I'm telling you, God gives us the victory. He gives us the victory, and he wants us to be able to enter in to all that God has planned for our life. Centuries ago, Sir Francis of Assisi was answering the call of God into ministry, and he became quite renowned in his day and time. And he had a dream. He had a desire in his heart. It was normal, natural. He wanted to be married. He wanted to have several children, and he knew if he answered the call, he would never have that in his life. And so he's wrestling out in prayer in his home. And while he was praying, the snow was falling. And And after he spent some time in prayer, he looked outside. He saw the snow everywhere. And he went outside and took that freshly fallen snow, and he made a snow woman, and he made several snow children. And he sat there in the snow, admiring and imagining what it would be like to have a family like that. And afterwards, he went back inside, went to the second floor, and grabbed a chair, pulled it by the window, and sat in the chair. And he watched the sun as it started coming up. And he noticed as the sun got higher, it got warmer, and got higher, and it got warmer, and got higher, and it got warmer. And as the sun got warmer, it had a great impact on the snow woman and the snow children. And throughout the passing of the day, he sat there and he watched as the snow woman and the snow children all melted away. The next day he left, never to come back again. As the Son of God rises higher and higher in each and every one of our hearts, as it becomes warmer and warmer with the passing of time in our life, he melts away all of the Ishmaels of our life, and he helps us to be able to go and fulfill what God has put in our hearts. I don't know where you are on the journey today, but I do know this, and I've said it three times, and this is the fourth time to say it. If Abraham, the father of the faithful, had to send his Ishmael away, then all of us had to be willing to send ours away. And today is that day. Would you please stand with me in this sacred gathering today? As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed in this service today. I count it a privilege to preach and teach where Pastor Michael preaches and teaches faithfully week after week after week. I don't know where you're on the journey today, but I know this. Until we are willing to surrender all, I mean really surrender all, and let go of the pettiness, let go of the Ishmaels, we're never going to inherit all that God has for us. It is just that simple. If I was to ask for a show of hands today, how many of us could say with absolute, total, 100% integrity that we know, that we know, that we know, that we know that there are no single Ishmaels mocking our life? Probably no hands would go up. Because all of us are, with God's help, are refining our life, asking God to make us more like His Son and less like we used to be. But the question is, are you willing, am I willing, are we willing to send that Ishmael away? Are we willing to say to the Lord, Lord, I really want to surrender all there is to my life to You and put myself totally and completely under Your control? In a moment, I'm going to count to three. And if you can say with integrity today, Lord, I want to possess my possessions. I want to enter into all that You have for me. I want to surrender every aspect, anything and everything in my life that is displeasing to You. I want to completely and totally surrender to You today, this beautiful Sunday morning. When I count to three, I'm going to ask you to lift your hand and keep it up. My hand will be the first one up today. And we're going to ask the Lord to help us to do just that today. One, two, three. If that's you, just lift your hand. Just keep it up. Dear Heavenly Father, You see us in this very solemn moment of time. You see us in this moment right now. You know everything about us. You know everything that's led us up to this far. You know the future. And today at this crossroad, we make a decision in our heart. Oh, dear God, let it ring clear and loud. Do this work, we pray, right now. Lord, we surrender it all to You. We give it all to You in the marvelous name of Jesus. Now, can you take a moment, just lay a hand on somebody else's shoulder next to you. We're just going to take a moment to pray for somebody on our left or right today. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray for him. We pray for her. We don't pray over them. We pray with them. Lord, we pray, God, that You would help him, that You would help her. Lord, to let it all go. Lord, to let it all go. Lord God, minister, I pray right now in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Lord God, do that divine work in his life and in her life. Oh, God, seal the deal, I pray, right now, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Minister only as You can. this very moment. And just whatever you give to the Lord, let him have it. Let him have it. And when it comes whispering again, do not entertain it anymore. Give it all to the Lord. Give it all to the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this work of grace, this work of faith that you're doing in our hearts and in this moment of time in our lives. Praise be to the Lord. Praise be to the Lord. Now let's thank the Lord for hearing our prayer today. Lord, we thank you for hearing our prayer today. Thank you, Lord, for the victory that is ours in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the work of grace that you have done in our hearts today. Praise be to the Lord. Praise be to the Lord. Now I'm going to ask you to look at me just for a second. Aren't you thankful that God hears our prayer? He does. Now, I want to challenge us. When we get home, don't slip back into business as usual. Set some new patterns in your life. Some new patterns in your life. Because out of those patterns come great victory. Amen? Would you please be seated? In just a moment, Pastor Michael's going to come. And if you can show that picture of my family up there, this is what he said to me. He said, James, you know, we've given money and mission projects around the world, but we want to help you to go. We want to invest in you. And I said, okay, that's what you want to do. And I want you to know, with the Lord's help and strength, we're going to stay active and continue to tie as many relational knots as possible. And I encourage you, be as generous as you can. We're going to be as faithful as we can do the work that God has called us to do. Amen. Pastor Mike, we love you, man.
How many of you enjoyed the Word of God this morning? Wasn't it great? Excellent. Ushers are coming now. I want to encourage all of you. Dr. James Davis is one of the main missionaries at Covenant Community Church. He's one of our missionaries. Planes do not go to Nepal. People do. Planes can't make relationships. A person needs to make a relationship. And so I want to encourage you to help us bless the man of God to go and spread the gospel around the world. We may not ever be able to go to Nepal. You may not ever be able to go to Myanmar. You may not ever be able to go to Russia or anywhere else. But we can send somebody who does. And how many of you want Jesus to return quickly? Can I see hands? Well, the Bible says that if you want to expedite the coming of the Lord, the second coming, then the way to do that is to make sure the gospel goes around the earth. And then the end shall come. That's what the Bible says. And so when we give and we bless our missionaries, do you know it's one thing to give like we're going to give in the coming year to the reconstruction of this sanctuary and all these new children's church facilities we're getting ready to build. It's another thing to give to somebody who can't bless you back. You want to get a hold of God? That's one way. And you need to sow a seed so Kentucky will win today anyway. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you. We thank you. We ask God that you would touch and guide us. We give you praise and glory, Lord. I thank you for the word. I love today's like today, Sundays like today, where, God, there's a sweet, quiet spirit in this church, God, where I'm with all my family and friends and people I go to church with, and I just hear the word of God today, and you speak to me quietly. I love Sundays like today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for your giving. Listen, I don't want you to miss next Sunday. How many of you want to live in victory in your life? Well, that takes place on the inside. And I have been like a bull locked in a gate for 3 weeks. Waiting on the Lord to let me release this word to this church. And it's going to happen next Sunday at 9 and at 10:45. Here's what the will of the Lord is for this church this season. For him to increase the spirit of expectancy in your life. For him to renew the ability to hope like you've never hoped for good things to happen to you before. And for God to lead you into victory. How many of you agree with that? Say amen. I know that's God's will. So I'm excited about that. Also, I've got, oh yeah, and don't forget about the study Bible. I actually wrote one of the chapters in here, or one of the articles in here in the book of Deuteronomy. Great study Bible. You hold a piece of history in your hand. That was a lot of work right there. And then I encourage you to stop by and get one. It's the 500-year anniversary of he was a doctor, Martin Luther. We wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for this man. So stop by and pick up a Bible. I love you. Don't miss Wednesday night. Hug somebody's neck, and I'll see you Wednesday. God bless you.
We pray that you were blessed by this message. For more information about Covenant Community Church, please contact us at media@covenantcc.net or visit us online at covenantcc.net.